It's Helping Hand. Friday is part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then it's archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to those with disabilities and the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about a crisis in our Asia-Pacific neighborhood. It revolves around a very intelligent, endearing, and vulnerable large mammal, the Pacific walrus. They are facing diminishing sea ice, and that sea ice plays a crucial role in their very survival in a lot of different ways. Recently, the Trump administration denied Endangered Species Act protection to the animals. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service found in 2011 that the walrus warranted protection because climate change is destroying the sea ice that it needs to survive. But just a few months after Trump took office, the agency reversed course and claimed that the Pacific walrus no longer merits protection, despite evidence that they're in deep trouble. Thankfully for the walrus, the Center for Biological Diversity has taken up their fight and is suing the Trump administration over this denial. This nonprofit devoted to, as their website notes, securing a future for all species, great and small, hovering on the brink of extinction. We're really pleased to be welcoming to Helping Hand the Center for Biological Diversity, one of their staff attorneys, Emily Jeffers. Emily, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
The Center for Biological Diversity, explain how you guys function.
We're an organization, a nationwide organization, and as you said, we're dedicated to the protection of species that are threatened with extinction and preserving those species and the habitats that they need to survive. We do that through a combination of conservation science and environmental law.
This organization gets their funding how?
We are primarily funded through member donations. People like you and me, they send $10, $20 to us, and we have a really large member base who are passionate about our work.
Sort of like HBR and like a lot of other nonprofits.
Exactly.
Science recognizes three subspecies of these animals. So there are, according to the information out there, 250,000 walrus in all. 200,000 of them are Pacific walruses, dialing in on this population. They use the sea ice for a variety of essential life functions, and as the ice disappears due to climate change, explain the plight as it relates to the sea ice disappearing.
Sure. The walrus uses sea ice for pretty much every stage of their life, for mating, giving birth to their calves, nursing, as a platform for foraging. They exclusively live in waters that are less than 100 meters deep on the bottom of the ocean. They eat mostly clams and other mollusks. So they rest on sea ice that's in shallow waters. They use the sea ice as a platform for molting, which is when they grow new hair. And as the climate warms, the sea ice is disappearing. It's widely recognized that within the next 10, 20 years, summer sea ice in the Chukchi Sea will be virtually non-existent, which will force the animals from their natural sea ice habitat onto land. They're at risk of tramplings, distress from not very much food, increased competition, stampedes. So the sea ice is their habitat. That's where they live. They live in the Bering Sea during the winter and in the Chukchi Sea during the summer. And as that sea ice disappears, so does their habitat.
The ice that's left is actually over water that's really, really deep, right? So the walrus can't really go diving down to get food from the ice that's more common up there.
Yes, exactly. They can't just follow the ice if it goes into really deep waters because then they won't be able to eat. They need that ice that's over the shallow continental shelf.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in October 2017 claimed, quote, while walruses use sea ice for a variety of activities, including breeding, birthing, resting, and avoiding predators, they have shown an ability to adapt to sea ice loss that was not foreseen when the service last assessed the species in 2011. Now, 2060, the year this organization, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, acknowledged that models predict there won't be any ice up in the Chukchi Sea. So, does the Center for Biological Diversity have scientific evidence that contradicts what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service assessment says?
Not only do we have scientific evidence, Fish and Wildlife Service knows full well that their finding is contrary to what they found 6 years prior, that the walrus populations are going to be in serious trouble once the sea ice starts melting, and that maybe as a short term, some walrus may be able to move onto land, but that's not a long-term solution. Every year there are huge stampedes, big problems when walruses are forced to haul out on shore because their sea ice disappears. In 2007, I think there was a mortality event of about 30,000 walrus as a result of trampling, stampedes. The calves are vulnerable to predation. So it's really disingenuous of the Fish and Wildlife Service to say, well, they can just move on to land. There's no evidence that that's a long-term solution for the crisis facing the walrus. And they acknowledge that sea ice is disappearing. There's no way to
hide that.
You can't hide that. It's happening. It's real. It's getting worse and worse every year, and the walrus really needs our help.
So if the protection that you're suing them for, this Endangered Species Act protection, was to get enacted, what will that provide the animals?
When a species has Endangered Species Act protections, what that means is that if the government is going to permit or license or themselves perform an activity within the species habitat that's going to affect the species, they have to take steps to ensure that the species isn't harmed. So in this instance, oil and gas exploration in the Arctic, the Trump administration has indicated they want to proceed with Arctic oil exploration. They would have to take steps to make sure that this is not going to harm the walrus.
And if they don't get the protection, what is the forecast for what's going to happen?
Well, the Chukchi Sea is going to be ice-free in the summer in a few decades. I think that the populations will certainly decline. In 2011, they found by 2100, by the end of the century, the walrus would be at risk of extinction. So I think if we want our grandkids to see these absolutely magnificent creatures, then we need to act now.
Would the Endangered Species Act protection prevent native Alaskans from conducting the limited hunts they're permitted to do?
No. The Endangered Species Act allows Alaska natives to continue their subsistence use. The primary threat to the walrus is not subsistence use by Alaska natives. It's climate change.
Right. It's the lack of this ice, and then it's the idea that people want to deny them protection so they can get into these areas and exploit them for petroleum.
Exactly.
Let's talk about how people can make a difference. Donating to your organization, volunteering to do advocacy by spreading the word, contacting legislators, contacting companies, or any other ways you want to highlight. The floor is yours. What can we do to support your effort to enforce protection for these animals?
I think we want to encourage science. We want to encourage the good use of science in government decision making. And so I encourage listeners to reach out to the Fish and Wildlife Service, to reach out to their Congress people, to encourage this government to make decisions based upon the best available science, as they are required to do under the law. I think the walrus would be protected under the Endangered Species Act if the government looked at the best available science. And so I think that it's really important that engaged citizens reach out to the representatives, to the agencies that work for us, and say, hey, you know, you need to make the decision that's based upon the best available science.
And when it comes to making donations to the Center for Biological Diversity, that's what will fund this legal effort to defend these animals.
Exactly, yes. If you want to make a donation to our organization, I encourage you to do so via our website, biologicaldiversity.org.
And I'll give all your contact info in a moment.
I just want to highlight that I really just think this is an egregious instance of the Trump administration ignoring science and its legal responsibilities to protect the walrus. This is a species that really needs our help in the face of enormous habitat loss in the coming century. And we need to do everything that we can to protect it. It's such an iconic species. Everyone knows what a walrus is. Everyone loves the walrus. My two-year-old can identify a walrus. I want to make sure that the walrus lives for a long, long time.
I encourage people to take a look at the videos that I'll embed in this post, which show walruses, young and old, that demonstrate their remarkable intelligence, their friendly and cuddly demeanor, and how endearing and special, as Emily was just saying, they really are. Here's how to help them. biologicaldiversity.org, where you can make a secure donation online today to join the fight to get the Pacific Walrus Endangered Species Act protection or donate on behalf of a number of other fights that they are undertaking. center@biologicaldiversity.org to send an email. You can call their main office toll-free, 866-357-3349. You can find them on Facebook, YouTube, and you can find all this contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. We've been privileged today to have a very special guest who's fighting on behalf of an animal that cannot get on the radio and ask for help itself. From the Center for Biological Diversity, one of their attorneys, Emily Jeffers, on behalf of all of those walrus that you're trying to save, thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
You're so
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks for having me on.